In this segment, we're going to look back at this past week's Democratic National Convention. Going into the week, Democrats shared a challenge in a way that the Republicans had to face, unifying the party after a prolonged primary before a nominee was secured. At the same time, they had to craft and present the message of their presidential nominee, in this case, Hillary Clinton. Here to discuss whether this all worked out for them is staff correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Beckett Adams. Hello, Beckett.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And it's WashingtonExaminer.com to read Beckett's work and the other journalists that present the facts, which in many cases in journalism these days is quite the novelty. So as I mentioned in the intro, they had a couple of points in their mission, the Democrats did. So as far as the convention is concerned, was the mission accomplished?
I think so. It's funny, if you cover enough of these, it kind of starts to feel the same for a lot of conventions. You have a number of guests who come out and they speak and they say wonderful things about the candidate, and each address ends with them promising that this person will be the next president of the United States. The whole room goes crazy.
Right.
It seems a little repetitive, but the main mission here is to not just entertain, but it is to kind of fire up and set, you know, a blaze the delegates and the people who are watching on TV. And I was in the arena for most of the big speeches from Vice President Biden to President Obama, and I can tell you the room loved it. Energized, electric, they ate it up. So mission accomplished on that front. One thing there's still going to be a question about is the unity issue. The Bernie Sanders contingent, not even necessarily pro-Bernie Sanders, but the anti-Hillary contingent in the arena, was extremely persistent all 4 days, extremely unhappy, and again, and I was in the arena last night for Secretary Clinton's speech. She was heckled for more of the speech than parts that she was not heckled for. You couldn't hear it on TV because of the cameras, but I guarantee you that inside the arena, there were fewer moments when she wasn't being given a hard time than when she was. The heckling was usually scattered and not all that loud, and usually almost always quickly drowned out. But it was there, and that's an issue she's going to have to deal with. If you watched it on TV and you heard the Hillary chant, and if it seemed weird and random at, you know, considering the context of what she was saying, if it came in the middle of sentences, that was precisely because they were using that chant to drown out hecklers. So that if that didn't make sense to anyone, now you know why that was happening.
No, in regard to that then, and even with Bernie Sanders saying, can we all just get along? Is there a growing possibility that Green candidate Jill Stein can be Hillary's Ralph Nader, like Nader was to Gore? Won't make a big impact, but can peel off just enough that if the election's close, it could be a problem.
No, I think that's an issue that they're seriously taking quite seriously. I do think on the Bernie Sanders front, many of the delegates I've talked to and some of the other people around the event have been frustrated that he came out and he called for unity. He endorsed her. He said very nice things about her. And his followers or people who supported him still aren't listening. They're still protesting her. And that has frustrated some people. To me, I think it's a little funny considering you are Bernie Sanders and you sold your campaign as a revolution. You can't exactly just hit pause on a revolution. His followers aren't going to exactly stop. They believe this stuff. Jill Stein is a name that I have heard used a lot in the last 4 days, which it might be anecdotal, but 4 years before this and the 4 years before that, the Green Party was never taken seriously. And in fact, I probably couldn't even tell you who the Green Party candidates were. I think Ralph Nader was still kicking around back in the day. But her name is very popular, and I've heard, actually, I spoke with at least 3 or 4 delegates. Again, it's anecdotal, and those are only a couple data points, but it's definitely something to consider. And talking to Clinton supporters, they tell me that this is an issue that they are taking seriously because there is a contingent of very unhappy Democrats who are considering a protest vote for Jill Stein.
So, Beckett Adams, who is a correspondent with Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Going into the week, I was really curious until I saw the schedule late Sunday, I guess it was, early Monday, about the batting order of the speakers, because by her own admission, Hillary is not the greatest public speaker. She has said that herself, and her speech Thursday night kind of proved it. It's almost, I think, there was an opinion column on townhall.com basically said, 2 words for Hillary Clinton, stop shouting. But I thought back to when Ronald Reagan came out to the convention to endorse George Herbert Walker Bush. You have a candidate, an incumbent like Reagan then, Obama now. You have a Bernie Sanders with a revolution behind him. Those are big shadows that last days after they speak. That was a big challenge for Hillary to have to stand up to deal with.
You're exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned that. That was an issue I explored this week, in that she had sort of a happy dilemma on her hand. Now, put aside their politics or what you personally feel about them, I believe people on any side of the aisle can agree that President Bill Clinton, President Obama are very gifted speakers. They're famous for it. They get people on their feet. They give speeches that people remember for years to come. And so I wanted to explore the idea of what was the DNC thinking scheduling President Bill Clinton and President Obama just before Clinton, and she can't follow that act. That's an act that her and Tim Kaine cannot live up to. Even Vice President Biden, he's not the most eloquent speaker, but he's very good at, you know, kind of getting the crowd on his feet. I think Tim Kaine landed a huge dud of a speech. His speech, I thought, was frankly awful. I thought Secretary Clinton's speech was competent, but I mean, it did its job. People were already kind of jazzed up and pretty excited, but I do think that she was briefly overshadowed in some way by her husband and President Obama. Now, the issue with this that I kind of explored is, what could the DNC have done? They could not have invited them. There's no way you throw this convention and not have President Obama and Clinton speak. That would have been absurd. But then the timing of it, I spoke to some political analysts. I spoke to some DNC people. And the general consensus is Monday had to be dedicated to Sanders. They had to get that out of the way to deal with the rebellion and to try to get to work immediately on unity. So Monday had to go to that. Tuesday night seemed like they could have maybe moved some people up, but they kept that dedicated to their specific topic that evening. So in short, you know, you have Bill Clinton on Tuesday and President Obama on Wednesday. There was no other option. They had to have these two sort of rhetorical luminaries come first. And I do think it did overshadow, like you were saying, with Ronald Reagan. There's really no way to, you know, follow up President Obama, especially with that crowd. They lost their minds when he got on that stage. But again, I think she did exactly what she needed to do, which was kind of fire them up, perhaps not so much as President Obama, who is going to be leaving office with their undying affection. But the bottom line is, what other option was there?
This is true. Wrapping our time, Rebecca Adams from the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com. Here on Issues and Ideas. Going into the convention, the big knock on Hillary's campaign was there was no theme, not even in the slogan. I'm with her was the best they can come up with. Did the convention construct a theme for the Hillary campaign, as opposed to, you know, much like when Chris Christie ran for his first term as governor of New Jersey? He basically ran on I'm not John Corzine, which, okay, granted, it worked there, but that's not always the case.
There was a bit of a contrast between the RNC and the DNC. I believe the RNC dedicated more time to making the case against Clinton than they did making the case for Trump.
Right.
Now, that's not to say the DNC did not spend a lot of time attacking Trump. They did. But there was also a very cohesive, very well orchestrated convention message, which was, going back to what you were saying, they have kind of ditched the I'm with her motto, and the convention theme was togetherness. We are doing this, you and I. And they were able to build that up not just in their speeches on their own merit, but they were able to build that up on the shoulders of Trump, especially that line he had at his acceptance speech where he said, I alone can fix it. That became kind of a rallying cry, where it's, no, you can't. We have to do this. We, the people. And so the word together was the theme of the convention, which signals, I think, they're kind of losing the very sort of Clinton-centric, look at me, 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 I know, I'm with her. No, it's not about her. It's about us, which was their basic message. And again, putting aside your politics or how you feel about it, the Democratic convention was really well orchestrated. There was a message, discipline, and cohesion that one speech flowed to the next, and the same theme was there, that we are in this together. So by the time she got on stage, she was saying it, and now, you know, people were chanting the line along with her because they got it. And that was just really well pulled off.
And now the personality profile portion of the mutual programs are over. We get down to campaigning and debates, which will no doubt have probably audiences that rival the Super Bowl. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. In the meantime, you want the story, you want the real story and the factual story, Washington Examiner is where you go. And Becca Adams, one of the folks that you read, WashingtonExaminer.com. Becca, thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me on.